So verse 24, chapter 14, translation says, he to whom joy and sorrow are same, sukha dukkha sama, rooted in self. Swastha, swastha means rooted in one's own self. Sva means self. And then to whom a clad of sama loshtashma kanchanaha, for whom earth, stone and gold are equal, same. To whom pleasant and unpleasant are alike. Tulya priya priya apriya. The wise to whom, to him, much censure and praise are also alike. Ninda. Ninda means censure. So, he is talking about man of perfection. Obviously, Arjuna asks, what are the marks of a person who has reached the state which is beyond gunas, three gunas. So, how do you know if you have gone beyond three gunas? You should be free from the pairs of opposites. Like I told you, food can be in the on the plate or in the plate, but not in your mind. Isn't it? There is food in the stomach, there is food on the plate. But why should the food be in the mind? So you are neither for nor against. Everything should be same. So from the material level, from the physical level, from the emotional level, from the intellectual level, all are same. You should have the ability to be in a crowd, and you should also have the ability to be without the crowd. In other words, the craving for the crowd should not be there. That's all. Vedanta is not against see, when he says samaloshtashma kanchanaha, for example, it is not that he doesn't have discrimination to know the value of one over the other. Now, interesting thing is, his values keep changing also. Once upon a time, value of the land was cheap. Value of gold was more. Isn't it? People used to buy gold. People never bought land. Then, now if you see, land is in between, land was more. Jewel is nothing. Now slowly land cost is going down. These things keep changing. He is identified with the Atma within, is rooted in the self within, therefore he is balanced. So remember this, when do you get balance? When you have a focus, you have balance. If you see a person who is walking on the rope, he has a stick or something in his hand, pole or something, and where is he? Focusing on some point. Therefore, he is able to balance. Whenever you are rooted, focused, then there is balance. When your mind goes, your desire goes in all directions, you lose balance. So therefore, a man of perfection who has gone beyond gunas. How do you know? What is the trait of a person who has gone beyond gunas? He is not talking about anything external. Even external things internally makes no waves. Somewhere we fall, no? You may not fall for Kanchana, but you may fall for Kamini. You may not fall for Kamini, you may fall for Kanchana. Samaloshtashma Kanchanaha. Therefore you have to be balanced in all. That is the trait of a man who has gone beyond guna. If he has tamas, rajas or sattva, even a trait, to that extent he will form. He will have some craving for them. He will still feel insufficiency. Little bit gold only will make him sufficient. Little bit crowd only will make him sufficient. Praise only will make him sufficient. Because insufficiency is still there. The lacuna is still there. When there is a lack, you try to make up for it. And in him there is no lack. Therefore there is no question of making up. Whether it is there or not, it doesn't matter. See, for example, in many houses I see some expensive stuff they buy. Right? Maybe they borrowed money and bought, or they paid their money and bought. But after having bought, for example, car, they hardly take it up. They may have another car, another vehicle, which they use frequently. But this expensive one, they don't. Why do you think it is?
They get back.
So
they keep it for a special occasion.
For what?
This is here that we get.
So what I wanted to say was, it is nothing wrong in having anything that you bought from your own work. But if the attachment is there, there are people who buy the car for months together or years together, that ribbon which is there in the bonnet, they don't take it out. And that polythene bag which is covering the seat, bucket seat, they don't remove. That attachment, that is what is should not be there, is what he's saying. You can't measure a man who's reached perfection by what he possesses. Isn't it? He may possess nothing, Sudama, or he may possess everything like Krishna. Krishna was a king, Sudama was a pauper, but both had reached this state. Sudama also treated Samalostashma Kanchana. For him everything was same. Sudama did not forget to ask Krishna, like the story says. Sudama had no lack to ask. He had no lack. He was full. There is nothing to ask. Are you with me? So that is what he is talking about. There is no lack. When you lack, you have to make up. When you lack beauty, you need to make up. When you have beauty, you don't have to make up. So therefore, a thing that you will use would be for a transactional purpose. It is not gone out of your value for it, for a status or something. Therefore, you will not try to keep it wherever the status has to be used for that. It is for your transactional purpose. You will maintain it, you take care of it, you will use it. Do you understand what I am trying to say? It won't be attachment to the object. So it's not that a spiritual person should not use an expensive thing. If it is something that he bought, what is wrong from his this thing? It's for transactional
purpose. What is because you have an attachment to it?
Not necessary.
You buy it.
You have purpose, you can buy it. Purpose is there, sir, but you buy an air conditioner, there is a purpose. I bought an air conditioner. What is wrong? Just because you have air conditioner, you become non-spiritual. So this is another problem why we fall. I'll tell you, when I know, many of them, they judge people based on non-possession.
Non-possession.
Not based on non-possessiveness. So if you see a simple person, simpleton, no chappal, no this, no that, then you think that he has to be spiritual, not necessary. On the contrary, a spiritual person may be simple. But that doesn't mean everybody who is having no chappal or very torn clothes or only one set of clothes he has or lives in a hut necessarily has to be spiritual. Please understand this. This thing that if you are using such things doesn't mean that you are non-spiritual. Like for example, in today's day and age, like for example, we are running a trust, right? Vedanta Trust is there. Our accounts and everything has to be maintained. Now you need to have a laptop or a computer, whatever, right? And if you have a laptop, wherever you go, you can do the work. So laptop becomes an essential. Just because you have it doesn't mean it is non-spiritual. Now I have many classes I'm taking. 10 books I have to carry because this book I am teaching here, that book I am teaching in the evening. So if I have a computer in which all the 10 books can be kept in a different format, PDF format, it's easy for me to carry one. So that lending purpose to your contact. Remember this. This is what we call as lending purpose to your contact. So in this verse it's essential to tell you when he says samalostashma kanchanaha, it doesn't mean that he treats them equally because he doesn't know the value of them individually. He knows the value of them individually, but they all belong to one category. What category?
the source of the necessity. The personal necessity is not for his, you for the Jews.
They fall under one category only. Whether it is the three things that we said here, for example, stone, earth and gold, they fall under one category. What is it?
Material.
So therefore they belong to what category?
Changing
category. Passing, fleeting category. One is valued today. Tomorrow it may not be valued. Right? Including knowledge, for example. When people were only using cycles, bicycles. Bicycle repairing knowledge is valued. When people are not using bicycle, bicycle knowledge is not valued. Car repair is valued. A lot of cars are used. These are all changing. Therefore, I am not going to attach to what is changing. I am focusing on what is not changing. Swastaha. Swastaha means I am focusing on what is not changing. Therefore, I am balanced. When I am focusing on what is changing, because what you praise me today, tomorrow you may criticize me. It's possible. Now, if I expect you to criticize me tomorrow, then I am a pessimist. But I am ready, then I am balanced. Because I am not going by your praise or censure. I am growing by my character. I am going by my knowledge. Suppose you praise me, I know how much I know. So why will I fall for your praise? And only if you criticize me, then also I know my knowledge, then I will not fall for it. But if I don't assess myself with reference to that, my character or my knowledge, then I will fall for your opinion. And your opinion can change. Isn't it? Your opinion can change. So therefore, all these come under one category. What category? Even this shall pass away. All comes under the category of passing away. Therefore, he says, he is not perturbed. Arjuna asks, what is his conduct? What are his traits? He is saying, nothing affects him. Things can happen. It doesn't mean tomorrow to go back from Vedanta class, you get rid of 19 and try to drive your car beside. There will be people coming and honking. Oh no, they are coming from Gita class, so they will stop honking. They will continue. But you will not be reactive. You will be balanced. So the more and more you develop, one of the most important qualities through which you judge whether you are growing is this. Censure, praise. Pleasure, pleasant, unpleasant. Joy, sorrow. Sukha, dukkha. Nothing should affect you. Should be balanced. That is why when you prepare itself, in the 14th verse of chapter 2, Sri Krishna said, practice titiksha. Do you know what is titiksha? What is pratiksha? What does pratiksha mean in English? Endurance. Putting up with inconvenience cheerfully. That is why when you go to an ashram, there is a simple living. God or Guru is not a pessimist or a sadist to make you suffer. But when you are ready for the lowest, and develop the gratitude and humility to deal with highest when it is bestowed upon you, you will be balanced. So while we give our children the most expensive stuff simply because we can afford it, we are also not educating our children to be able to be without anything, comfortable. That is all. It's not wrong to have something. We should also develop the value to be not with anything. And whenever I talk about this, I remember you. Because you have forgotten or not, I don't know. For example, you told me, my son will not eat pizza in that Pizza Hut. You told that, right? Long time ago, she has given this in one of the things. They said, your son, is it? Her son, and going with somebody else's son. You don't want to take the names. Though she did tell me the names of the person. Her son was friendly with some other friend. So the friend had come to her house. So they are in Vasant Vihar. So opposite is the pizza place. So these boys decided they'll go and have pizza there. Right? So they went and had pizza. Next week she got a call from that other mother. Please don't send my son to that place. It was not that she sent him to some roadside or something. Some clean, healthy place only. But you understand what I'm trying to say? The below the level. So what I'm trying to tell you is, we are failing to teach our children and to ourselves to be without us.
Was it below the standard as well? Was it hygiene, cleanliness, going to that market?
What I am trying to tell you is the ability to be with minimum is an extremely important value. Tidiksha, self-control, self-reliance, all these kind of qualities. This, when you do, is equal to swastha. See, this word swastha, 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 man who is rooted in self. Who is rooted in self? Yogaratova, Govaratova, Sangaratova, Sangavihinaha, Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam, Nandati, Nandati, Nandati Eva. What is he saying in that verse in Bhajagovindam, verse 19? Whether you are in yoga, class like this, the spiritual environment, or you are in bhoga, indulgence, Sangaratova, whether you are in a group party, get together, or Sangavihinaha, alone, Yesya Brahmani Ramate Chittam. In whose thought Brahman is there, higher values are there, higher aspects of life are there. He is Nandati, Nandati, Nandati Eva. He is happy, happy, verily happy. So therefore, Swastaha word has to be understood correctly. He is Swastaha. Swastaha means what? The basic essential self. He has developed the ability to be with himself. Then even 10 is swarga. 10,000 is much more. When you are comfortable having your curd rice every day, you are taken to buffet, no problem. But if buffet becomes essential every day, then when life throws curd rice at you, you will not be comfortable. So that is why in spirituality, always this tapasya of self-control, living with minimum, is emphasized. Being with yourself without talking is the most difficult thing. Even food you may probably give up, but without talking can you? So many people tell me they go to this Upasana, to get puri and all these places. Many of them are not able to cope up, some people do. Why? Because to keep quiet and be with yourself. There is this desire in us to talk, to express, to communicate. It's not wrong. We need to be in control. Impulses are not wrong. We are after all human, we will have impulses. But you need to have control over it. So he is somebody who is a swastaha, therefore he is gone beyond this guna, and these things, material, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, whatever level. See, when I say, when I honor you or dishonor you, it's an intellectual opinion of mine about you. So if you are probably, if I did not give you wealth, right, you are the place your father, who is separating the wealth and giving to children. Probably gave little wealth, young, low, less wealth to you. Theek hai? But if you are dishonored, that you probably may not be able to take. You may probably say, okay, thoda less wealth also I'm okay. But how did you esteem my my estimation about me went so low. Intellectually, you demeaned me. That I can't take. So in other words, what I'm trying to say, some people are okay at the physical level, material level, mental level, intellectual level, they may buckle. Censure and praise is important for them. Honor and dishonor is important for them. There are people who say, before I die, I don't want my name to be spoiled. All I want is, I want to die as a good man. Means what? There is a weakness for honor. In his case, nothing is there because he clearly understands all these are passing changes. Next.
मानापमानयोस्तुल्यः तुल्यो मित्रारि पक्षयोः सर्वारम्भपरित्यागी गुणातीतस्य उच्यते मानापमानयोस्तुल्यः तुल्यो मित्रारि पक्षयोः सर्वारम्भ परित्यागी गुणातीतस्य उच्यते.
Continuing the same thought here, alike in honor and dishonor, alike to friend and foe, emotional, intellectual level. The same thing, so that doesn't require much explanation. Then he says, relinquishing all undertakings, sarva arambha parityagi. What does that mean? Elsewhere it came in one of the qualities, explain. So I am asking you for the definition. Sarva arambha parityagi. What does it mean? Does he not start anything? Like a good string, whatever has started, like you have inherited certain business, so only that you will do. You will not start new business because you are a Gita student. Is that what he is saying? Sarva arambha parityagi means what? Renouncing or undertaking is a literal translation. What it means is, if necessary, you may start something, if the context may be necessary, but you will not have that feeling that you have started.
Doership
is not. Please understand this. That's why I am asking you questions, so that this is something that is important. So, renouncing all undertakings means there is no doership. Doing is not going to stop. Doing, stopping is easy. Lot of us stop at doing. But doership ko stop karna, knowledge hona chahiye. Digested knowledge. And then he says, he is said to have crossed over the gunas. Guna atita. Atita means when he crossed all the three gunas. Tamas, rajas, sattva. It is also called as sattva atita. When he was crossed beyond sattva also. Next verse.
माम्चयोव्यविचारेण भक्तियोगेन सेवते सगुणान् समतीत्यैतान् ब्रह्मभूयाय कल्पते माम्चयोव्यविचारेण भक्तियोगेन सेवता सगुणान् समती कल्पते.
And he who serves me with unswerving yoga, avyabhicharini bhakti, in other words, unswerving devotion. Swerving devotion means going from one to another. Avyabhicharini bhakti means non-swerving devotion. And he who serves me with unswerving yoga of devotion, he having duly crossed his gunas, is fit for becoming Brahman. So he is talking about ananya bhakti, unprostituting bhakti. Whosoever has unprostituting bhakti, that person comes. Why does he say this? Because Arjuna asked, how do I cross?
How does a person get to cross? He is saying, bhakti hoga to cross kar sakta. What is that bhakti? Avya vicharini bhakti. Who has unprostituting bhakti is fit for reaching Brahman because he goes beyond Brahman. What does it mean? Because again you will understand bhakti means probably blind surrender. Potential is there. Nothing you will understand. What I mean is? Possible, bhakti on a chair. So I am being bhakti, so I will reach there. I am praying to Krishna every day, bhakti is there, I will reach there. Is that what he means? What does he mean by Abdul Bicharani bhakti?
No, you know, doubt that everything that is coming your way is coming because of anything else but your own ultimate manifestation of your own or your thoughts or your karma. So you know, doubt that that doubt is not there, that everything which is happening, it's happening for a reason for you. You will not doubt its intention in terms of why this is happening. You have full faith that everything that is coming your way is for your betterment or as it's meant to be.
You read the book, what is it say in the book? What is the interpretation you are giving in the book for Abhya Vicharani Bhakti? So now he is talking about bhakti as essential. But what is that bhakti? Swamiji doesn't explain in the book, does he? Why Abhya Vicharani bhakti means what? Unswerving devotion means what?
Steadfast
devotion. See, remember this. Please remember this. Devotion means identification. Devotion means love. Love means identification. When it is with reference to something lower, we use the word love. When identification is with something higher, we use the word devotion. So devotion or love means identification. Theek hai? Where is your identification? He is saying, if your identification is with me, you will reach me. If your identification is with Guna, you will be going with Gunas. Therefore, Abhya Vicharani Bhakti, only identification with Atma. So there is a story. There were few frogs that were in a well. The wall of the well was very smooth. So the frogs were trying to climb that and come out. But they were slipping. And there were other frogs from Niche were saying, you can't cross, it's difficult, ye hai, wo hai. They kept on saying, demotivating. So it fell. One frog managed to cross and come out. And when the question is asked, how come this frog came out? The answer given is, it is a deaf frog. You understand? It's a deaf frog. He did not hear all this. In other words, you must have a single-pointed attention agenda of getting over the three gunas. When will that come? Next question. When will that come? No. When you understand that what the three gunas can offer, what the world can offer is not what I want, is not what is going to really give me that what I am looking for. Therefore, it is not here. Therefore, it is only in dhyan. That is why we say vairagya. So what he's saying here, if you have vairagya, with reference to the world, ye mereko nahi denge, mereko nahi milenge yahan. Fir vahan, then it becomes single focus. I don't want anything. Otherwise, today what is happening? I'm going, but I'm interested in this also. I'm interested in that also. I want to satisfy my brother also should be happy. My uncle also should be happy. My grandfather also should be happy. My husband also should be happy. Sabko happy karke main kab vahan pahunchega? You understand? So, unswerving devotion in the end of Mahabharata. In the end of Mahabharata, Yudhishthir and everybody is climbing the Himalayas. At that time, Yudhishthir never stops for anybody. He says, if you all want to catch up, catch up. But I am going. There are people who stop. He says, I am not going to stop and wait for you to come and catch up. You keep walking. Come on to me. But I am not going to stop. So that is called unflinching devotion. Unswerving devotion. Means my identification is set in the higher. So I am telling, like Vishnu has said, get thee behind me, Satan. I will have nothing from thy hands. That is the meaning. Get thee behind me, Satan. I will have nothing from thy hands. That unflinching devotion is what is going to help you to cross. Therefore, in short, he said, you need vairagya and mumukshatva. Mumukshatva means a burning desire to get there. That's called burning. Otherwise, you will not cross. Otherwise, everything you will come up with some excuse. Whatever, same thing, same words. When we talk in management, same words we interpret. What? Whatever you want to achieve, you must have that. You take example of anybody who achieved whatever they achieved. It's because I'm preaching devotion. There's a CV on Tendulkar I have. Somebody gave it to me. It was released in 2003 or 4. It's just unflinching devotion to cricket. Now if you see Swamiji, in 90s he achieved certain things because unflinching devotion to that subject Vedanta. But we go into many things. The devotion is not there. See, Swamiji also plays cricket. But cricket is side. Are you with me? Once in a while when there is no lecture or something, he is playing cricket. And that cricket also he tries to promote Vedanta through cricket. Because in India, he has a fascination for cricket. So he says Vedanta is not laziness or anything, it's dynamism for that reason. But I know in our own ashram, we have a cricket field also. In our ashram, slowly, students, and he has allowed them to play cricket, they started getting involved. So one day in the lecture, he really gave them and said, no more cricket for few days, few months. Because you understand that your purpose of coming to Vedanta Academy is not to play cricket. That is when you get unflinching devotion. What? Why am I going? Why am I coming here? The purpose is very clear in me, objective in me. So when that objectivity is there, I am not going to fall. Then I become fit. Otherwise, anybody comes and tells me, I am coming, suddenly the hand market I am seeing on the way, 50% discount. So I am going there. Which means what? Unflinching? Devotion nahi. If you do not have unflinching bhakti, you will not get it. Next verse, last verse. Brahma no hi pratishtaham, pratishtaham. Amritasyavya yasya cha, shashvatasya cha dharmasya, sukasyaikantikasya cha, brahmano hi pratishtaham, amritasyavya cha, shashvatasya cha dharmasya, sukasyaikantikasya cha. Now, ekant, one of the things that he uses is ekant. Ekant for I am the abode of Brahman. He is now saying, I am again, I am the abode of Brahman. He is interpreted by people as Krishna is the abode of Brahman. I is the true abode of Brahman. Meaning, your original I. Today you are qualifying that I. How are we qualifying? I am a woman. I am a man. I am a business woman. I am a professional, I am employed, I am a servant, I am a lecturer, I am good, I am bad. ये आई को आप क्वालिफाई किया, मॉडिफाई किया, डिस्ट्रॉय कर दिया. सो व्हेन ही सेज आई एम इज द अबोड ऑफ ब्रह्मन, ही इज टॉकिंग अबाउट द ओरिजिनल आई विद नो क्वालिफिकेशंस, नो मॉडिफिकेशन. दैट आई एम इज द अबोड ऑफ ब्रह्मन एंड दैट आई इज इमॉर्टल अमृत. व्हाट इज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन मृत एंड अमृत? मृत मीन्स subject to death. Amrita means not subject to death. Why this eye is not subject to death? It is not subject to death because it is not born. When sadhana is born, atma is not born. Agree with me? So atma is neither born nor dead. That's the correct thing. So atma is that is immortal because it is not something that is born. Now if it is not something that is born, does it mean that it does not exist? It is not born, it exists. But it is not available for your senses. So he says, I am the abode of Brahman. It is immortal and immutable. Immutable means changeless. Immutable means changeless. Why the change happens? See, atma is defined as what? Tat and chit. Right? Now you are conscious. Are you conscious? You are conscious. When you are conscious, we say atma is now here present as Chit means consciousness. Now, how is it present in the rock? It is present in the rock as Sat, existence. Consciousness is everywhere, but when there is a medium which can express it, it gets expressed. When there is a medium which cannot express, it doesn't express. For example, I'm boiling water. Right? The heat of the water, is it the property of the water or is it the property of the fire?
Fire.
The heat of the fire is what is manifesting in the water. But heat also has another property. What is that? Light. Is that getting expressed in the water? No. But when I heat a iron rod, will it express both light and heat?
Yes.
So, the consciousness is all-pervading, right? But in a being with mind, the consciousness is expressed as chitta. In an object with no mind, it has no capacity to express. It remains as existence. Just because you cannot see or feel, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It is remaining changeless. Immutable. Are you getting? Heat has two properties. Light and fire has two properties. Heat and light. Water is capable of only expressing heat. It is not capable of expressing light. But iron rod is capable of expressing both. So just because water did not express light, doesn't mean there is no light in fire. Exactly like that, consciousness is available before birth, after birth, in between it is there as existence. Like for example, you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, are you conscious? In deep sleep I'm talking about. But does that mean that your consciousness is not there? It is in existence form. Therefore, immortal, immutable, it is eternal dharma. It is that consciousness which is maintaining the law. that dharma, the system is me akhil, and that being is absolute bliss, ananda. When you reach that state beyond gunas, you will be in ananda, kanda ananda. What is that? Today the bliss that we experience is broken bliss. We are happy, suddenly some negative things happen, unhappy. Then happy, unhappy. The happiness is broken. In its case it is unbroken. Why unbroken? What is breaking your bliss? What is breaking your bliss?
Desire.
Dekho, you go to jacuzzi, you lie down, you sit down there, calm water, you switch on, you know what happens? Bubbles. And you see, in your mind is calm, serene, and that's a desire. When desire comes, ripples form, agitation ho jata hai. So what happens? I have a desire. I want chocolate. Right? What I want. So I'm eating, what I want. Now, my mind was calm till I had a desire for what I want. Calm mind, what I want. The thought comes. There, like ripple in the jacuzzi. My mind gets disturbed. And when my mind gets disturbed, then I want godaiva. I eat godaiva. When I eat godaiva, temporarily the desire is satisfied. Now what am I doing here? I am interpreting that the happiness came from chocolate. There are people, you give them the godaiva chocolate, they may not like it. In some people maybe they don't want to eat it anymore. If it was in godaiva, it should give happiness to everybody. So what are we deducting from this? What are we deducting?
What are you removing from it to get joy?
I'm saying, when there is a calm mind, happiness is there. In the calm mind, when the desire comes, the mind is getting agitated. The agitated mind is given the object. We are confusing to think that object removed the, sorry, object brought the joy. But did object bring the joy? Object only removed the desire. You came in contact with existing joy.
With your original
joy,
like your state, your original state, without the desire.
Okay, there is a calm mind. Mm-hmm. In the calm mind, desire pops up. For an object, whatever object, I gave an example, whatever can be anything. So now agitation is taken over so much that you cannot rest till you get the object. Now I am getting the object. Now when I get the object, do I get pleasure or not? Object of my desire. So what am I naturally thinking?
That the object is
giving me the joy. But actually what is the object doing? It is removing the desire temporarily. So I am coming in contact with my existing peace, which was already existing. Are you with me? But by the time what is happening in me is, another desire for the same object or for some other object is coming. Therefore, what is taking away my bliss is my desire. So when I reach a state which is beyond desire, then what will happen? Permanent happiness. Are you with me? So therefore, he says, Aikanta Sukham. Absolutely, Ekanta Sukham, all alone, just consciousness is there. In the consciousness, there is no desire, creating a wave, agitation. So therefore, the person who reached that state, who's gone beyond gunas, strive to reach that gunas, strive to reach that state is there. Next. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhade Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogo Nama Chaturdasho Dhyaya. Om Tat Sat that is real. That Brahman alone is real, which is indicated as Om. Om is the sound symbol of Brahman. It's also Veda. Thus, in the Upanishads from the Vedas, the message is given, which is given in the Bhagavad Gita. The glorious Bhagavad Gita has come from Upanishad. The science of eternal, what does it talk about? The science of Atma, the eternal principle. And it is the scripture of yoga, helps you to unite with the Brahman. And it is given in what form? The dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. And it is in that dialogue, we have today concluded chapter 14, entitled the Yoga of Distinction of the Three Gunas. So let's chant verse number 1. Why do we chant?
Huh?
We should. So it should not just talk as a tradition, and I trust you all will do it. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam, Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam, Yajnyatvamunayat Sarve, Yajnyatvamunayat Sarve, Param Siddhi Mitogataha, Param Siddhi Mitogataha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam, Yajnyatvamunayat Sarve, Param Siddhi Mitogataha. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Sakalam parasmahi, sakalam parasmahi, narayanayeti samarpayami, narayanayeti samarpayami.